Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Personal Brahman is his body, but then he's got his own personal body too. That's the third one. So, I'm looking for the place. Okay, 93.10. Evam yasmat sharamatitoham aksharadapi chotamaha Atosmi loke vede cha Patita purushottamaha ityadi shri gito upanishad abhiyojiya. In the same way should be construed such statements of Sri Gita Upanishad as, because I am transcendental, beyond both the fallible and the infallible, and because I am the greatest, I am celebrated both in this world and in the Vedas as that Supreme Person. Krishna talking, he's saying he's beyond the fallible and the infallible. Well, there's your material creation and impersonal Brahman. He's something beyond all both of those. And he says it himself here in the Gita. No, he doesn't. Well, that's in the same chapter. Yeah, referring back to that. He talked about the akshara and the akshara, the previous verse. Oh, I think that. Well, Jiva Swami has taken it like this. I think that discussion about the kshara and the akshara in the 15th chapter, was it 16th chapter, is it? 15th. Yep. Can be interpreted more than one different way. So I think you was always taking a different reading of that to what it means. I mean, it's the terms kshara and akshara can be understood in a couple of different ways. Atra yadyapi kutosto kshara uchyate. Well, here you go. Here's the answer directly from Jiva Goswami to you. Api kutosto kshara uchyate iti akshara shabdena shuddha jiva eva pustuyate. Tatapi para brahma chalakshyam. Aksharam paramam brahma iti tatcha tatra purvoktamiti. Although in this context it is the pure jiva who is introduced by the word akshara in the statement, he who is permanently situated is called the infallible. Still, the supreme Brahman is also being referred to indirectly. As it has already been previously stated in the Bhagavad Gita, the infallible is the supreme Brahman from the 8th chapter. Akshara is the beginning of the 8th chapter. Anayos chitmatra vastu twain aikart jyatvaditi. This is justified by the fact that the two of them, how can we get away with this? Turning jiva into supreme Brahman. This is justified by the fact that the two of them, the jiva and Brahman, are equivalent in the sense of their both being pure spiritual substance. Tadetad abhipretya malanam ashanirinam naravaram idyadao murtasyaiva soyam bhagavata evata lakshanam tvam sakshad evaha tatvam param yoginam iti yoginam shri chatuksanadinam. Okay, with this idea in mind, in the verse beginning, for the wrestlers he was lightning, and for the common man he was the best of men. The personality of Godhead in his visible form is directly described as identical with Brahman. In those same passage, in the words, for the yogis he was the supreme truth. For the yogis means for those who are like the four Kumaras. This verse, Bhagavatam 10:43-17, was spoken by Sri Shuka. Well, that's all the way back. This is the last paragraph. That was paragraph 1 of 93. What was that verse? No?
93, because verse of the...
Well,
it looks like Shri Yogeshwar took at the mark of the Shira, the very last verse that she quoted about the rest of the arena.
The last verse of the Bhagavad Gita.
Yeah, no, from Bhagavatam.
Well, let's see. Let's find the exact verse. Hold on a second. I can't do it. What is 10:43-17?
This is about Krishna.
Do you have the verse?
Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't want to help me. That's 10. Is that really what we mean? Because generally, at the end of the Anuchet, he says the main verse that's the topic of the Anuchet. He identifies that. So does that mean that this is the main verse being commented by the Anuchet, but it's only mentioned at the very end and only tangentially? It's not the main topic of the Anuchet. Maybe I say all that Jiva Goswami says that was spoken by Sri Shuka. Is there some other verse spoken by Sri Shuka that I misidentified the verse? Well, let's see. Let's go back to the beginning. We start with quotes from the Brahma Purana and the Padma Purana. And we have Tattvam Yajna Mahamrityu, but that's spoken by Shuka, Suta Goswami, not Shukadev. Okay, I'm confused. I'm just going to make a question to myself about that. Do I have the right verse? You understand the problem? That generally when he says at the end of the Anuchet, this verse was spoken by so-and-so, he means the main topic of discussion verse. Okay. It's like the sutra, yeah. Well, no, it's actually what you call the Vishaya Vakya. Not the Bhagavatam. Vishaya Vakya, the Vedanta, there is some statement in the Upanishad that's being discussed. The sutras never tell you what that statement is. The commentary has to tell you what the statement is. But that's called the Vishaya Vakya, the topic of discussion. The particular text of the Upanishads is being discussed. So the Bhagavatam verse serves that function, the function of the Vishaya Vakya. But that means it's the topic of discussion of the whole Anuchet. Sometimes we may have the Anuchet chopped up differently, wrong, and not the original way Jiva Goswami numbered them. And the evidence is when what's supposed to be the main topic doesn't show up as the main topic. What we call the Anuchet, maybe we're dividing it up wrong. But when you have Sri Sukha or somebody said it, that means definitely it's the end of an Anuchet. And it's generally one, no, there could be more than one. Some have a series of verses. You can have more than one. And some other chains just seem not to have any, they're just general discussions. But let me make a note. Silky, that's search. What's Ras Silky? I need a translation. What's Ras Silky? How do I? Oh, yeah. It says Dad Primachandya. I'm just getting a little confused in the end. Yeah, a little Russian interface here. Okay, I'm ready to move on. We're going to read the commentary. Commentary. More than once in the Bhagavad Gita, Sri Krishna claims himself to be the last word in the Supreme. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matak paratanam nanyat. Oh, that's not a verse. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matak paratanam nanyat. What is that? I got the line wrong. How does aham sarvasya prabhavo matak sarvam pravartate? Okay. Let me fix it.
First line
and second line are the same. Yeah. The word's the right word. Well, that verse is just below. I'm fixing it. Hold on a second. I don't even have diacritics. Inserts. Excuse me just for a second. Shift insert. Okay, ham sarvasya prabhavo matak sarvam pravartate. I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. Then he also says, matak paratanam nanyat. Kinchid asti dhananjaya. Mayi sarvam idam protam. Sutre manigana iva. O conqueror of wealth, there is no truth superior to me. Everything rests on me, as pearls are strung on a thread. And he also says, Brahmanohi pratishtaham, amritas yavya yastya cha, shashvatasya cha dharmasya, sukasya ikantikasya cha. Indeed, I am the basis of the impersonal Brahman, which is immortal, imperishable, and eternal, and is the constitutional position of unlimited happiness. The term infallible can correctly refer to impersonal Brahman, or the personality of Godhead, or even the purely devoted finite soul who is fully realized. The word kuto sto kshara uchyate, the soul who is fixed in himself is called infallible. Indicate the Shuddha Jiva. But earlier in the Gita, Krishna defined Akshara as the Supreme Brahman. Okay, we've got a problem here. The program has crashed. When many years before he spoke Bhagavad Gita on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Krishna entered the arena of Mathura with the intention of assassinating the king. The different classes of spectators seated there each saw him differently. I may have to quit the program here. Let me try pause break. Oh, Krishna. Can I borrow your computer for a minute? Because mine is acting up. I know, but I just want to read the end file. I want to read the, I just want to read the last couple of paragraphs here.
Okay, so I will open the next
one. No, there's more.
Yeah.
Don't open the next file yet. I want to read the last two paragraphs. Hopefully my computer will come back to its senses. Okay. Ah. Oh, it's the very last paragraph. When many years before he spoke Bhagavad Gita on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Krishna entered the arena of Mathura with the intention of assassinating the king. The different classes of spectators seated there each saw him differently. The less intelligent failed to recognize him as the supreme. The wrestlers beheld him as lightning in person. The common man as an ordinary hero. But the few enlightened souls who were present, like the four Kumaras, sons of Brahma, were they there? I don't think so. Okay. Saw him as the Tattvam Param. These yogis have the correct vision that the personality of Godhead is the real self of Brahman. Any impersonalist in the arena would have perceived him as impersonal Brahman. But the Kumaras and other perfect yogis are liberated from the bonds of impersonalism. I don't think they were there. Yes, could you take that? Okay, wait, wait. Okay, I'm gonna. Ruby, I think that's a mistake. I don't think the four Kumaras were there at Kapta's arena.
He mentions about a whole category of people.
He says Kumar, yeah, well, yeah.
Because he mentions in the translation.
And I translated people like the Kumaras, not that they were there.
They
were?
But actually, they would. They were like prevalent for.
Yeah, but I mean, I can't say they were there unless I'm sure. I don't think the Bhagavatam says they were there. Yes.
In your commentary, you mentioned that the soul who the soul who is fixed in himself is calling forever.
Infallible.
I don't understand clearly because how can a soul fix in himself?
How can a soul be fixed in himself?
Yeah.
That means
meditation.
I think it means no. Prabhupada talks like that. That's Prabhupada's language. It means that he's fixed in self-realization. He knows he is a spirit soul. That's to be fixed in the self. Is to identify yourself as spirit soul, not as something material.
There are so many yogis, they are not so realized.
Do they really realize, or are they just talking? If they realize, then they're self-realized. If they actually know it, that they're soul, spirit soul, even if they don't know that Krishna is devotee, then they are, in a basic way, self-realized.
So they won't call?
No, it says that they do. Even though they think they're liberated, if they don't have devotion, they can even go up to the Brahmajyoti, they can go to the spiritual sky, but they won't, they'll fall down again because they don't have any devotion.
You are using what they have been infallible.
Oh, yeah. Well, okay, someone who's actually. I got a problem here. My file, the word won't let me open the file for editing. Gee whiz. Okay, I'm sorry. I have a problem with the computer. That's why I wasn't paying attention. I think we're no. I'm back to normal here. But I think I can explain. If someone's actually self-realized, if he knows actually that he's spirit soul, then he won't fall down. But the personalists imagine, they think they're self-realized when they're not. They're partly self-realized. But as complete impersonalists, they actually are not as self-realized as they think they are. So therefore they're still fallible.
Because basically your question is, what about impersonalists? If they've realized the self, are they actually infallible? Only if they've really realized the self. But I think our claim is, Krishna's teaching is that without becoming devoted to him, nobody becomes fully self-realized. No one can fully understand that he's pure soul without also understanding that he's Krishna's devotee. Now, I'm going down here. Does that answer your question, or you want more answer? Okay. Boy, I have a problem here. I can't edit this file the way it is. Could you help me read the Russian? I'm going to close the file. No, I need to read the when it comes on the planes. Oh, this time it opened. Save and save it. Control S. Okay, that saves. Then it takes forever and doesn't save it. Okay, anyway. Let me borrow yours. But please, I'm making corrections. Okay. Could you give me your question again?
So this infallible refers to pure devotees.
Well, Shuddha Jiva. Then we have to discuss who's a real Shuddha Jiva, who's a real pure soul. I think we're correct to say that only pure devotees are actually pure souls. The rest of them are not completely pure, the ones that are not pure devotees.
Yeah, because this question is if they go to Brahmacharya, they fall down, then.
Then they're not pure. That means Avishuddha Buddhaya. Yeah. That means their intelligence was not completely pure. Avishuddha Buddhaya. Jaya Vijaya are pure devotees.
Yeah.
Well, then it's just a pastime then.
This is because of Krishna had his own pastime.
Well, this is. I know it's an important question, but it's not what we're discussing now. It's a big question. If the devotees in the spiritual world are pure devotees, how come anybody falls down from the spiritual world? So there's various attempts to answer that. One is that Jaya Vijaya are actually pure devotees and it's just Krishna's arrangement. But that's not the answer we usually hear. We usually hear that they committed an offense and fell down. So, okay, maybe I'd answer that. How do you do this? Someone may be a pure devotee, but if he commits an offense, he'll fall down from that platform. Offenses against Vaishnavas will spoil your eternal status. And at least temporarily, you'll have a fall down. That may not be a satisfactory answer, but that's the answer I would prefer to give. That is because of offenses that somebody like Jaya Vijaya fall down. Because Jiva's soul is by nature marginal. That means, marginal means he has the potential to be under the control of material energy. Otherwise, what does it mean to be marginal? So if a jiva soul actually is marginal, tattvastha shakti, and he's always tattvastha, that means he always has the potential to fall down, even from Vaikuntha. Okay? But that's a whole different topic. It's hard to satisfy everybody with an answer on that. Okay. This isn't going to work. I can use your file, but I still have. You don't have the changes I put in there in the last couple of days, so I can't use your copy either. So you can take it back. Yeah, just I have changes I just made that I won't be able to enter now. No, that's okay. No, I got to use my own copy. You can take it. Ah, not responding, Krishna. Gaur Mohan swore that the new operating system has no mistakes, no bugs in it. End task. Okay, let me have it. Then we can open the next file.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Okay, I found it. Okay, no more questions?
No.
You can do that. Okay, text 94, full energy. Yes. Yes.
Because he always mentioned the Atrupa, the three of the names.
Right, right.
Yeah, then he mentioned the Supreme Brahman.
The three forms.
Did he want to mention about because they become the many living entities, like four of them and four of the entities?
Remember that living entities are not on that list. We got three bodies. Living entity is not listed as one of those bodies. They're just, you know. You can have to expand the list to include them.
So, did he do it because he wanted to do some convention?
Well, he wanted to use the Gita verse to prove his point.
What did Bhagavad Gita ask about?
That Bhagavad Gita is saying the same thing that we've said in the last paragraph, that the Vishnu Purana was telling us, that the Vishnu has three forms, the material universe, the Supreme Brahman, and his personal body. That's what Vishnu Purana was telling us. So Jivaswami is showing the Gita, Krishna says the same thing. But to understand that, we have to equate the Shuddha Jiva with the personal brother.
It looks like that he was not only a Shuddha Jiva, but also a conditioned soul, because it looks like that the conditioned souls, their consciousness belongs to the material world. And then the consciousness of the spiritual soul belongs to the spiritual world. Therefore, he says that I'm...
Well, but in the Gita, where we're talking about Kshara and Akshara, the 15th chapter, what's the Kshara then?
Living entities are also fallen.
So they said the fallen living entities are the Kshara. Mm-hmm. The infallible, the living entities don't fall on the Akshara, according to the way we read Bhagavad Gita, 15th chapter.
Mm-hmm.
So the Akshara is the pure genius, not the fallen genius.
Mm-hmm. But it looks like that we already heard this. All of these material world and all of Akshara and Supreme Brahman. So, looks like the Shri Jiva Goswami is using this word, this verse, and he somehow puts he equates Akshara, Supreme Brahman with the pure souls, and Akshara with the material world with the conditioned souls.
Yes.
This much. And then he says that I'm a hope.
Jiva Goswami is says even though the verse that the Akshara in the verse refers to pure Jiva, we can take it as also referring to the personal brother. Jiva Goswami says that explicitly.
But can we also take that in this same verse? Kshara means follow, refers to the, not to the conditioned soul, but to the material universe.
No, I don't know. Well, on what basis? Why would you say that?
What did it make that their consciousness is material? Like in the same way.
Yes. No, that's why you so taking here. I'm sorry. I am superior to the Kshara and the Akshara. And from Vishnu Purana, we had Akshara meaning the material creation. So, and Jiva Goswami is telling us, now the Gita is telling us the same thing that the Vishnu Purana told us. So yes, Akshara is supposed to be material energy in this context.
At the same time,
we have this other meaning that we get in the Gita with the Prabhupada's purport that comes from Jiva Goswami, whoever, or comes from Vishnu Chakravarti. So there's just two different ways of reading the same verse.
whatever you think is fallible, whatever you think is infallible, Krishna is superior to it, no matter what it is. Okay, now text number 94 has 8 paragraphs. It fills up a whole file. We start it now. Ata eva srimad bhagavatasya nigamakalpa paramapala bhutasya bahudha shraishtye sati api tata bhutasya api bhagavadasya paramatattva tatvasya karya vidya lupatva eva paramashraishtam aha. Therefore, even though Srimad Bhagavatam, the ultimate fruit of the desire tree of the Vedas, is supreme in a number of ways, its topmost supremacy is on the basis of its being a magic formula with the power to attract the supreme truth called Bhagavan. This is stated, completely rejecting all religious activities which are materially motivated. This Bhagavat Purana, so, point is, Bhagavatam is already considered the ultimate fruit of the desire tree of the Vedas. But beyond that, even what makes it even greater is that it has this magic power to attract the Supreme Lord. And it is stated, dharma pro jita kaita votra paramo nivasana na satam vedyam vastamavatra vastu shivanam tapa trayom mulanam Srimad Bhagavate Mahamuni Krite Kim Va Padayar Ishvaraha Sadhyo Vidya Vadudyate Prakriti Bhik Sushushubis Takshanat. Completely rejecting all religious activities which are materially motivated, this Bhagavad Purana propounds the highest truth, which is understandable by those devotees who are fully pure in heart. The highest truth is reality, distinguished from illusion, for the welfare of all. Such truth uproots the threefold miseries. This beautiful Bhagavatam, compiled by the great sage Vyasadeva in his maturity, is sufficient in itself for God's realization. What is need for any other scripture? And here's the point. As soon as one attentively and submissively hears the message of Bhagavatam, by this culture of knowledge, the Supreme Lord becomes captured within his heart. Now, Prabhupada has a different word there, than captured. What is it? Prabhupada's translation? Okay, could you look at that? Oh, you're not having a computer. That's okay. Okay, let's check folio. Is it by this culture of knowledge the Supreme Lord is established within his heart? So I took the liberty of making it more literal, of arujiti. The Supreme Lord is captured within his heart. We were talking that the Bhagavatam is like a magic mantra that brings the Supreme Lord under its control. Okay, here. Commentary. This unachieved, at the next, turn our attention again to Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay, because we were talking about Bhagavan. We were talking a lot about Brahma in relation to Bhagavan. Now we're going to mention Bhagavatam again. This anucheta in the next turn our attention again to Srimad Bhagavatam as the only complete, reliable revelation of the personality of Godhead and devotional service to Him. In the invocation at the start of the very first chapter, 1.1.3, the Bhagavatam declares itself nigamakalpa taror galitamala, the ripened fruit of the desire tree of the Vedas. The eternal authorless Vedas, also known as nigama, that's what nigama means, the original Shruti. They are identified poetically with the legendary Kalpataru, the tree of the spiritual kingdom from which can be taken anything one desires. Just like this tree, the Vedas reciprocate with anyone who takes shelter of them. And so by carrying out the Vedas' various recommendations, the karmis, jnanis, yogis, and devotees of the Supreme Lord all obtain what they want. The Vedic desire tree has many branches, but its fruit is Srimad Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam is thus not just the scripture of one isolated sect of believers in a particular deity, but an integral part of a complete living organism imbued with unified intelligence. Those who are fully realized in spiritual knowledge can understand that the Vedas and the Bhagavatam both reveal the same absolute truth. Vedanta shows that the Vedas are revealing Brahma. Bhagavatam reveals that Brahma is Krishna. Most followers of the Vedas, however, approach them, the Vedas, with selfish desires, sankalpas. In response to which, the Vedas prescribe various ritual sacrifices for the karmis, various kinds of meditation on partial aspects of the Supreme for the jnanis, and various physical and mental disciplines for the yogis. In their most confidential teaching, the Vedas guide those who have risen above selfishness on the path of pure bhakti. Because unalloyed devotional service is selfless, it has the power to bring even the personality of Godhead under the control of his devotees. Srimad Bhagavatam is the prime source of these innermost teachings, and thus hearing, reciting, and explaining the Bhagavatam is one of the few most effective means for developing perfect love for the Supreme Lord. The text cited here, beginning Dharma Projita, comes just prior to that beginning, Nigama Kalpa Taror. The second of these three Mangalacharna verses with which Bhagavad Gita commences specifies the subject matter of the book, Vastu Nirdesh, and offers blessings to its readers, Ashirvad. Dharma Projita does that. It specifies what the Bhagavad Gita is about and offers blessings to those who read it. Blessing is, study the Bhagavatam, and immediately God, Krishna becomes captured in your heart. Okay, any comments?
Well, question one, Shri Goswami learned this topic about, looks like that he speaks about bhakti and superior to Bhagavan, because he described Bhagavan that he's not speaking about bhakti. You know that there is one to Siddhartha, Bhagavan and Siddhartha. Bhakti Siddhartha and Bhakti Siddhartha, which can explain it. So, what should the Goswami start speaking?
I'm just looking at this Anuchet for the first time in a long time. I don't remember what the rest of the Anuchet talks about. But we've been told, turning our attention back to the Bhagavatam. So I think it's mainly to glorify Bhagavatam that is said. The topic of, you know, who's really in control, Krishna or Bhakti, that will be discussed later on. That's just mentioned in passing here to help glorify Bhagavatam, that it's so powerful that it even attracts Krishna. How Krishna can be attracted or controlled, how Krishna can come under control, that will be discussed later on. Preeti Sandharva.
So the Jiva Goswami, he's speaking not mostly about the power of bhakti, but about the glories of Bhagavatam.
Yes, because Bhagavatam reveals bhakti, that makes the Bhagavatam glorious.
But in some way, Bhagavatam is not different from Krishna, it's like a special manifestation of Krishna.
Well, we'll see what I don't remember why he's talking about Bhagavatam. We'll see in a minute. Let's continue to see why turn the topic to Bhagavatam. Next paragraph. Atra yastava dharma rupite sakalu, it's a long sentence. Savai cum samparo dharmo yato bhaktin hoksuje ityadikaya atakupir dvi nishreshta varna shrama vibhagashaha svanushtitasya dharmasya samsidhir haritoshanam ityantaya. So the passage begins, Savai cum samparo dharmo, and ends atakupir dvi nishreshta. That whole passage, Antaya Vidya, Bhagavat Santosha Naikata Tatparyena, Shuddha Bhakti Upadakataya Nirupanat, Parama Eva. This kind of religious principle, the kind of religious principles enunciated herein, Dharma Koja Takaita Mantra, so discussing that for about Dharma, the Supreme Dharma, is discussed here in the Bhagavatam. The kind of religious principles enunciated herein in the Bhagavatam is the best only, since it is described as having the potency to generate pure devotion by the methodology set forth, with the one primary theme of satisfying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the verses beginning, the supreme occupation for all humanity is that by which men can attain to loving devotional service unto the transcendental Lord. And ending, O best among the twice born, it is therefore concluded that the highest perfection one can achieve by discharging the duties prescribed for one's own occupation according to caste divisions and orders of life is to please the personality of God. This is so because this kind of religious principle, which aims only at pleasing the Supreme Lord, the deceitfulness of striving for profit is completely rejected. Yato sopi tadeko tatparyatvat prakarshena ujita kaitava palabi sandi lakshana kapatam yasmin tata bhutaha projita prashabdena salokyadi sarva prakara mokshabi sandir api nirastaha. And by the prefix projita, by the prefix pra is denied even striving for any kind of liberation, like the liberation of obtaining the same planet as the Supreme Lord. All the cheating religions are thrown out. Projita. I mean, so completely thrown out that we also throw out the desire for liberation. Okay. Commentary. The exclusive dharma or principle of progressive life mentioned at the start of the invocatory verse is further on in the verse termed vastavavatu, vastu, a matter of real substance. In comparison to pure bhakti, all of the human endeavors are superficial and ephemeral. Vastu means substance, object. It also means a topic of a discussion, the vastu. So there's a play of words. Otherwise, it's completely redundant to say that a vastu, a substantial substance. If it's a vastu, then it has the quality of a vastu. Why say that a vastu is vastava, a substantial substance? Why repeat the word? Because the two words there mean something different. Vastu means topic, and the topic is substantial. That makes sense. So, in other words, pure bhakti, the topic of the Bhagavatam, is substantial, and all other human endeavors are in comparison, are superficial and ephemeral. Pure devotional service and it alone is completely selfless, because it is performed only for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord. Karma, jnana, and yoga are all more or less selfish activities.
The social duties of Varnashram Dharma are nonetheless strongly promoted in Vedas because they are an intermediate means preparing human beings for Shrutibhakti. Persons civilized by observance, could you go see what people want? Persons civilized by observance of the dharmas of the Vedic Varnas and Ashrams are proper candidates for devotional service. The perfect dharma, which excludes all kinds of cheating. The prefix pra in the word projita indicates completeness. Pure devotion as taught in the Bhagavatam neglects even liberation from birth and death as another selfish goal.
Okay, any questions? Two verses, Savai Pum Sampuru Dharma and the Tapu.
Yeah, yeah.
So, would, yes?
So, I'm just keeping it. Is it, if the readers read, the translation is given in the translation.
Yeah. Okay.
So, the verses also is put first line on it. If you quote that verse on the first line.
You mean Savai Pum Sampuru Dharma?
Yes, Savai Pum Sampuru till to this verse.
You mean tell all the verses in between?
I mean, I was thinking that if you read the translation, the readers may not know these are the famous verses quoted by the Jiva Goswami. You know, the people may not know the English translation refers to this particular verse.
Well,
in a detail.
But you just have to look at the transliteration right above.
Okay.
It shows both the verses. That's why I cut up the other chains so you don't have more than one or maybe two verses quoted in the paragraph so that the reader can match it up.
Okay.
You can see this is the only verse quoted. Here there are two of them.
Yeah.
So there are two big quotations and the two verses in italics are right there above.
Okay.
That's the best we can do
yeah.
to help with it. Yes. No? Okay, we'll stop now. It's exactly 20 after. And I gotta fix my computer. Okay. Thank you all very much, Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai. Looks like the final is.